Revelation 3:18. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. For the gold tried in the fire obviously represents the inspired truth for this time, as the only truth that saves, as the only kind that the Yahweh would sell. And what can be the white raiment, which the true witness, Yahshua, Revelation 1:5, urges them to buy, if not the righteousness of Yahshua? Question mark. And what must one do to obtain these? For we shall find the answer in Micah 6:5. O my people, remember now what the Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what the Balaam, the son of Beor, let's do it again. My people, remember now what the Balak, king of the Moab, consulted, and what the Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Yahshua. Here we are admonished to remember Balak's question and Balaam's answer, if we would know the righteousness of the Yahshua. Let us turn unto the Numbers 24:17-24. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth, and Edom shall be a possession, as Seir also shall be a possession for his enemy, and Israel shall be violently. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he left on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nation, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, a stone is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in the rock, or in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted, until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when the Yahweh doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. Obviously, this is a prophecy of Yahshua having taken the reins in his own hands. Testimonies to Ministers, page 300. Such is the righteousness that we are urged to know. Concretely speaking, knowing the righteousness of the Yahshua is with the knowing wholeheartedly that in the latter days he is to take the scepter, that he is to reign, that at the outset he is to smite the corners of the Moab and destroy all the children of Seth, that Edom and Seir shall be a possession for his enemy, that Israel shall be valiantly, that he shall have dominion, and so on, according unto the scripture. This is our righteousness of the Asir, if we know it. And he who realizes that the reign of the Asir and his kingdom is not something intangible, not something imaginary floating in the space, as it were, somewhere across hell, but a real thing, as real as any of the kingdoms today, will immediately inquire, as did the Apostle Paul, "What wilt thou have me to do, Yeshua?" This we shall again see from the prophecy of the Micah 6, 6 and 7. Wherewith shall I come before the Yeshua and bow my bow before the High Yahweh? Shall I come before him with the burnt offering, or with the cries of a year old? Will the Yeshua be glad with thousands of rams, or with the 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? This inquiry by the people and the unfolding of this scripture reveals what they think would be the most pleasing unto Yahshua, for they think a gift of some kind from the natural things is perhaps the most acceptable gift they can offer for the remission of their sin, for we with our own eyes actually see this very thing throughout our churches, this same condition obtained in the days of Yahshua's first advent. The Jews were very particular about paying tithes, even on the minutest item of the income, on such as mint, anise, and cumin, but they omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. The new and living way, Matthew 23:23. For the honest tithing was unto their credit, said the Yahshua, but tithing should never replace judgment, mercy, and faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20. This same answer comes to us today through the prophet Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what does the Yahshua require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy Yahweh. Once having caught the vision of the great need for the revival and reformation, Yahweh is with the Yahweh's people, being willing to do almost anything, even for the crucifying of their firstborn. For the further information, inspiration, advice, Micah 6:9, he is the rod and who hath appointed it. These are the Yahweh's answers unto the question, wherewith shall I come before the Yahshua and bow myself before the High Yahweh? Since we are asked to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, it must be that we as a people are not practicing these things, that there is dishonesty, inconsiderateness, and pride. We are glad, though, that we are not hopelessly condemned for our iniquities, but that we are invited to give them up, to forsake them, if we expect to stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb. Through the prophet Ezekiel, we are shown wherein we abuse the gift of the mercy and justice. Ezekiel 34, 21, 22, and 31. Because you have thrust with the side and with the shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your Yahweh, saith the Yahweh, the Father. For the disease, the weak are those who are less influential, and for one reason or another are unable for the holding of their own. These are pushed and horned out by the stronger, the unjust and the unmerciful class, the class who control the work, for this class is nevertheless eventually to be judged. There is but one safe course to pursue if we would find favor with Yeshua, and that course is outlined by the prophet Isaiah 7:21-22. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep, and it shall come to pass for the abundance of the milk that they shall give, that he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. Imagine one cow and two sheep supplying with the butter and honey all who are left in the land, since a literal cow and two sheep could not possibly do this. We must agree that they are symbolical of something which is not only capable of producing an abundance of milk, but is able also for the preserving of the lives of its patrons. There is but one thing that consists of the three such parts, two sheep and a young cow, that is capable of the keeping of the world alive, and that is the Bible unfolded by the spirit of the prophecy, with the spirit that leads into all of the truth for the true sheep, not being young, and the two of a kind must be symbolical of the Bible itself, both the Old and New Testament, for the cow being young and large in size is obviously symbolical of something of the latter origin and more voluminous than the Bible itself. Hence it is none other than the published works of the everlasting spirit of the prophecy, of the ever-living spirit of the prophecy, with the inspired interpretation of the scripture for those that are left in the land. Therefore, when the Yahshua takes the scepter for the reign, are those who live on the butter and honey, which only the Bible and the spirit of the prophecy can supply. All others are prepared with the modern Edomites and Moabites. In the sense in symbolical prophecy, we are shown that the Yahshua himself learned the difference between the right and wrong by the studying of the scriptures. Isaiah said 14 and 15, therefore the Yahshua himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Bread and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. No one would deny, as mentioned in our last week's study, that this is a prophecy of Yahshua's first advent, and as we have the records of his diet, was not of the dairy, butter, and of the bee honey, not restricted, as was John the Baptist, also by the fact that no literal butter and honey has the efficacy of the compelling anyone to choose the good and to refuse the evil. It all proves that the butter and honey are symbolical of the word of Yahweh that the Yahshua himself learned from the scriptures to choose the good and to refuse the evil. Here you see that one needs a daily supply of the spiritual butter and honey if he is to sustain his spiritual life. That is, yesterday's meal could not take the place of the meal today. No more than the Noah's inspired message. Thora, his day can take the place of the inscribed message of this kingdom today. Only the heaven-sent message for today can save the people of today. That is just as real and as true and as logical as it is to say that the living cannot be judged without the message of the judgment of the dead. Yes, blessed is that faithful and wise servant whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in the due season. And that's who we are here at Mount Zion, the 12th hour. This is what we are doing. Matthew 24:45-6. For the further realization that we need the study and the order for the recognizing of the abominations that surround us and to know how to avoid them, I shall read from Testimonies of Ministers, page 445, this seeing of the servants of Yahweh, the 144,000, is the same that was shown unto the Ezekiel in vision. John also had been a witness of this most startling revelation, Ezekiel 9:46. And Yahshua said unto me, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of the Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And unto the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and be again at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. When the day approaches for this scripture to be fulfilled, then its truth must be the meat in the due season for the people at that time. Nothing else can take its place, and so we see that as the Nineveh was spared by the message to it, so the Laodiceans can only be saved by the message to the Laodicean. From the following we see that the message for the Laodicean is to bear fruit, that many will learn to choose the good and to refuse the evil. And the time when his wrath shall go forth in the judgment, these humble, devoted followers of Yahshua will be distinguished from the rest of the world by their soul anguish, which is expressed in the lamentation and weeping, reproofs and warning, while others try to throw a cloak over the existing evil and excuse the great wickedness everywhere prevalent. Those who have a zeal for the Yahweh's honor and a love for the soul will not hold their peace to obtain favor of any, for their righteous souls are vexed day by day with the unholy works and conversation of the unrighteous, for they are powerless to stop the rushing torrent of the iniquity, and hence they are filled with a grief and alarm, for they mourn before the Yahweh to see the religion despised in the very homes of those who have had great light. They lament and afflict their souls because pride, avarice, selfishness, and deception of almost every kind are in the church. Testimony, Volume 5, page 210. Since we now clearly see that the Laodiceans, Seventh-day Adventists, perish without the message to the Laodiceans, we should hold fast to the truth for this time and win our crown of life. And in the addition unto it, we shall be credited with a good harvest of the souls and with the commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Matthew 25:23.